Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Well, it was Friday night. Myself and three of my friends, we did something every Friday night during our senior year of high school. We went out to eat. Now you might be thinking, well, that's no big deal. Well, for these boys here, myself included here, well, we grew up in Kansas City. Well, what we did is that we went to go try out a different barbecue restaurant every night, every Friday night. Now, in Kansas City, okay, that's Barbecue Central there for the nation, all right? Lots of barbecue places all over town, and each one of them different, okay? Just like you have lots of Italian restaurants around every corner around here, so it is in Kansas City with barbecue restaurants, each specializing in their own sauce. In fact, Kansas City Masterpiece, if you go to the grocery store, you see that sauce there. Well, they had their own restaurant. And in St. Louis, they had two restaurants there. But they could only afford to keep one open in Kansas City because the competition is that great. So many different barbecue restaurants. Now, when you think about the country here, there's all kinds of different, you know, barbecue flavors that are out there that people like. You know, Kansas City has theirs where it's pretty much a molasses and vinegar-based barbecue sauce. Down in Texas, you got mesquite. Go down to the Carolinas, you got a sauce down there. It's kind of mustard-based. And for those of you who like dry rub, well, then you go to Memphis, okay? That's where they're at. Now, for us, though, well, we liked our sauces, and quite frankly, I still do. And sad thing about my mom moving from Kansas City down to Texas means that, well, I don't have an excuse to go to Kansas City to buy more sauce, you know, because, well, I have my favorites, you know. There's one that I had specifically bought to grill chicken. In fact, they sold them. It was glorious days. I could buy their sauce by the bucket, okay? I'd buy a bucketful, bring it home. Well, then I had another sauce that I bought that's great for brisket. And then there's another one that's great for, like, if you want to just pour it on a sandwich. And even I have another one that I would buy because, well, I like pouring barbecue sauce on my salads. All right. Getting hungry yet? All right, well, I am. And so were our disciples this morning in our gospel reading. They were hungry and tired, and, well, the people there were too. So let's take a look at and see what's on the menu for today. Now, Jesus' popularity here is probably at its highest, okay? Jesus has been going around all kinds of places, and what's the first thing that he usually does? He starts healing people. Healing people of all kinds of things. And so people start to bring themselves or their loved ones there to have Jesus touch them and heal them. Consequently, well, that started to draw big crowds. And when they'd all come around, then, well, they just stick around too because they wanted to hang out with a prophet who was like that. And so then they would hear Jesus teach and preach as well. Again, lots of big crowds. But in this passage here, we also see something else. We see a part of Jesus' humanity as well. He could see his disciples whom he sent out to go out and do the same things that he was doing, teaching and preaching to the people. Well, and here they are, they're tired, okay? Jesus is tired too. They've been pressed upon, they're exhausted, their bodies needed rest. And so they, along with Jesus, well, they needed some time off. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. So they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now, it's hard to imagine here, but, you know, that here they are, that they were so busy with the people that they didn't even have time to eat. That's what's going on. That's how much the people are coming in because they're healing them. It's like they've got a need that's out there, and so they want to be a part of that. And so they were wanting the disciples' time and Jesus' time. Well, being fishermen, well, what do? They get in a boat. Go to the other side of the lake. There they are, dropping off at a desolate place. Yet the people, though, they recognize them. It's like, hey, those guys are leaving. So they want to know where they're going. So because they're going out there on the lake, they're on the Sea of Galilee, and so here they are going to the other side. They're not too far out there. Well, they're just kind of watching. It's like, hey, they're going this way. So what do? They start to run ahead. And so they just stop, see where they are, until finally they see the boats coming to shore, and it's like, there they are. So the people from all the towns around there all gathered out there to wait on them to come to shore. And when Jesus went ashore, he saw that great crowd of people. And what do we learn about Jesus here? When he saw them, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, compassion, all right, that means somebody's being sympathetic towards their distress that they're experiencing there. But it's just not being sympathetic, too. Okay? It's also they have a desire there to want to alleviate that distress. And that certainly fits with Jesus. You see, there are people there, sheep without a shepherd. They need a leader. They need a guardian. They need someone who's going to be looking out after their best interests. And that is certainly Jesus. And so what does he do? He begins to teach them many things. Well, before you know it, it's starting to get late. Some disciples come up to Jesus like, "Hey, Jesus, it's late, you know. You got to send these people away. I mean, they need to go over to the grocery store, get something to eat, go down to 7-Eleven, get a big gulp, whatever, right? Jesus, you need to, they got to go buy something. Send them away." Well, Jesus here does something different. Okay? Think about the situations going on. Jesus has been teaching the people. Jesus has sent the disciples to go out and teach the people. Jesus turns us a little bit here. Now it's his time to teach his disciples. So what does he do? He gives them a command. Okay? You give them something to eat. The disciples are like, "Really, Jesus? All right, that's half a year's salary just to go out there and buy bread to feed all these people. You know, and that's assuming we can get out there and find a place that's got enough bread to feed all these people. Are you serious? Come on." So how does he respond to them this time? With another command. "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." Well, they scour the crowd, and what do they come up with? Not much. 5 and 2. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Well, then he commanded them to sit down in what? In groups of hundreds and fifties. Now, when Moses appointed leaders over the people way back in the day, he appointed leaders over thousands, over hundreds, over fifties, and over tens. See, Scripture says that one day God would raise up someone who was like Moses. What do we have here? Breaking down into those same kind of groups of numbers, just like Moses did. But where did he have them sit? What does Scripture say where they sat? On green grass. Now I want you to think of Psalm 23. What are the first two verses? How do they go? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." What do we have here? We have the shepherd. Now, I bring this up now because, think about it, right? We know what's going to happen next. Jesus is going to bless the bread there and divide it all up. But what do we have? Jesus. The Lord is our shepherd. Jesus being a shepherd to the people. For they're like sheep without a shepherd. Okay? Those who should have been taking care of their spiritual needs, you know, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they have failed the people. Jesus knows that. He sees that. And what does he do? He starts to teach the people things. He has compassion on them. And when the Lord is our shepherd and he has compassion on us, I shall not want. What does that mean? When you have no wants, that means that everything that you need is being taken care of. You have no wants because you got it all already. You see, that's what's happening here with Jesus and the people. With Jesus, we lack nothing. So, Jesus takes the 5 and 2. Takes the bread, takes the fish there, looks up to heaven, says a blessing, probably something like this: "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe," or something like that. And then he hands it out to the people. They all ate, and what does it say? They were satisfied. That means they were full. Okay? The people then lacked nothing. And afterwards, they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. A teachable moment. Think about this. The disciples who were complaining to Jesus to begin with, we don't have enough food, we don't have enough money, tell them to go buy stuff. Each one of them has a basket full for themselves of food left over. You see, what we have here is a fulfillment of our Old Testament lesson. God brought in the shepherd. Jesus is gathering the flock. The Lord is our righteousness. Indeed, the Lord is before his people. Jesus is showing who he is to them, and just as importantly, to his disciples. Jesus has already healed plenty of people. You know, as we've been going through the Gospel of Mark here, what's Jesus done? Well, he healed Jairus' daughter, right? Okay, 12-year-old girl. She died, brought her back to life. The woman there, in the midst of all that story there, had been bleeding for 12 years, all right? Healed her too. And you go before that. He cast out demons. He's on the lake. There's a storm comes up. What does he do? He stills the storm. It's God incarnate who's right there in their midst. And that's what's happening. He has come to save his people. And that indeed would happen when he went to the cross, becoming the last sacrifice for sin. And as he rose from the grave alive, what does he do? He's giving hope. Hope to all that death is not the final stop, that heaven awaits. You see, this feeding of the 5,000 is an example of showing that God is in control. God takes care of our physical needs. He also has compassion on us. And Jesus is the proof of that. Jesus is the proof that God has a desire to save his people. You see, that's the example that we have for today. We find that Jesus is our shepherd, and we shall not be in want. And there'll be a day that'll come in which we will be there with Jesus in heaven at a banquet feast. And I can't wait, because I can't imagine what kind of barbecue is going to be up there, you know? All right? That's what's before us. But until that time, we do have a foretaste of the feast to come. It's right up here. We're going to be receiving it shortly. When we receive Christ's body and blood there in the bread and wine, there is where we have that assurance that our sins are forgiven and that promise of everlasting life is yours personally. That's the kind of God that we have. So in those times, in that desolate place that you find that you're hungering for somebody with compassion, somebody who cares for you, know that you do indeed have a God who cares for you so very much, found in the one and only Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.